Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman, and my co-host, Marcia Stone, will unfortunately not be with me today. She is stuck somewhere where there is absolutely no internet, which is kind of nice for her, but we will miss her today, and we also just have an incredible guest, so I know she's going to miss out on this conversation, but at least she can listen to. Karen Brar is here today. She is the founder of Nourish Union, and Nourish Union is built on the philosophy that living well is a fundamental right to all beings and that to live in harmony is innate within all of us, which I totally agree with. Karen has a variety of programs, it sounds like, that she immerses clients as individuals into a journey of personal growth, and she does this with I think so many experiences that she's been through and all of her trainings and everything that she teaches. And so today I want to talk to Karen about her journey and everything that she shares with the world and how she inspires others. So Karen, welcome to the show. I'm so happy to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. And it's too bad that your co-host can't be there, but I'm also kind of jealous because I think it's nice to really disconnect and fully be away from all the technology. So I hope she's enjoying that.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, I mean, so Karen, like you're a holistic health practitioner, but I know that you've had a lot of training in yoga, movement, mindfulness, Ayurveda, meditation, breathwork, which is incredible because all those things helped me on my wellness journey. And I feel like I encourage my clients to explore. There's so many amazing ways in which we can heal. And the unfortunate part is that sometimes there is not an awareness that these things exist, or people have a hard time finding them. So can you speak to that a little bit? Is that why you've created, or tell me why you've created Nourish Union and, you know, your intention behind that?
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. You know, there's in some ways so much out there and so many amazing modalities and healing systems that have been around for like literally thousands of years. But I found in my own personal experience that as I was going through just living even and kind of struggling with what life was throwing my way, when I finally did start on my healing journey, it was so often, and to this day, so often, why are we not teaching our children this? Why are we not teaching people this? Like, how did I get to 40 years old and I'm just learning this now? And so as it was so profound for me through my journey, all of these different modalities that I'm sure we'll get into, I just found that it was just so necessary to share, especially the yogic teachings, the yogic scriptures. There's just so much profound knowledge there. And in yoga itself, it speaks to the fact that we have this innate wisdom. And it's that we need to, in fact, clear the clutter, the stuff that life kind of piles on and moves us away from that wisdom. So, you know, I want to be able to help empower others to also just know that it's there for you. We just have to actually just simplify it so that you can access it.
Right, right, right. Well, you know, I want to hear about all these modalities and we can go through them. And I, you know, just to share with you and the audience too, I changed my life 14 years ago, stopped drinking, got sober, and got on the, I think, a path of wellness and just, but a mental, emotional, physical, spiritual transformation, honestly. And through that, I had so much time and space to then discover Ayurvedic nutrition. And I, you know, took breathwork classes and, you know, worked with other therapists that were teaching me different modalities around meditation and hypnotherapy and, you know, all these, and Reiki and all these things. So I was so lucky and I was just soaking it in, like, you know, it was just hungry for it. And I was so incredibly, again, like you said, surprised that these things existed and I hadn't yet, you know, discovered them. But it was such an amazing discovery that, you know, I'd hope that I think more people were bringing this message to others. And so I just wanted to, like, you know, just ask you too, what was your journey towards this, if you don't mind sharing?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. So the, you know, it's funny when I'm asked this question, kind of like from more of a business perspective, I'll answer it from like really just like, what was my kind of LinkedIn page? What does that look like? But the reality is that life brought me here. So when I was 10, I'm an only child to immigrant parents. They're South Asian. And my dad had a stroke when I was 10 and he was 49. So oh, young, wow. like so really young.
Yeah.
And he had a massive stroke. So in the early 1990s, they just weren't able to help him, or they just didn't catch it in time. Kind of a combination of a number of things. And it debilitated him, changed all of our lives, the three of our lives forever. I spent then, you know, watching my dad over the course of 25 years after that first stroke, kind of, we just continued to lose parts of him, right? And we just slowly watched him die, which was a really challenging thing to do. And, you know, I was really close to him. And so there was just that piece of even understanding. I think it was the first time I even knew of the word stroke was when my mother told me that this had happened. So imagine a 10-year-old trying to just understand what that means, that you could only, you know, converse with him to ask like yes or no questions, and he wouldn't be able to speak to you forever, you know, and he wouldn't be able to give you life advice, or even though he was trapped in his body and so desperately wanted to. So it was watching a person, you know, an amazing man, like suffer for sure, but also just be trapped from not being able to live his life, but still live it for the next 25 years. And that was just
wow,
really,
that's so crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy to watch.
Well, it's such a loss. It's such a loss. You know, you lose the person or the version of the person.
Yeah. But then there was a part of him that was so committed to still being around, and the strength that he had to fight through so many other things that, you know, medically they just didn't even understand how he was surviving. So there was a lot of beautiful things that I was able to, you know, take from that experience and watch my dad and still have him be this, you know, amazing strength and support that just showed up in a different way. And then on top of that, my mom, you know, in the last, I think it was about 8 years ago that she was diagnosed with Parkinson's. So then, you know, here we are with another degenerative disease. So thank you. Yeah. It's you know, it's just, it's tough. And, you know, I spent a lot of time watching people very close to me deal with really tough degenerative diseases. And for a period of my time or life, or when I was younger, being told these are just, you know, it's either they're unlucky or they're, you know, it's in the genetics and that's just what it is. Right. And I just couldn't imagine like, oh my, these are my genetics. First of all, like I'm kind of screwed.
Right. My fate. Yeah. Right.
I just couldn't really sit with that. So that was a major part of what brought me there. The other big piece was that I was, a trained professional dancer. So from the age of 3 into my mid-20s, I lived this very high intensity life of being this high performing dancer. And from, you know, what we know of the contemporary dance world, that can be pretty intense, lots of pressure, dealt with a lot of from eating disorders, and then coupled with what was happening with my family, dealt with depression, anxiety. I had two very serious suicidal moments. You know, obviously I did not go through with it, but they were real and they were clear.
They were lows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So all of this stuff took me into my 20s where I just eventually just felt exhausted by it all and knew that there had to be a different way, that life could not be like this forever. And so I ended up on a yoga mat to heal my physical body from the dance injuries. And very quickly, it started healing me on levels that I just didn't even know could. So started to feel a little bit more connected mind to body, started to feel hope.
That's amazing. I didn't really.
Yeah. So that's really what brought me to this place. And then it got me to a place probably about 10 years into my personal practice where I was able to finally start to study yoga, and that just changed my life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's such, I've had on people, my other podcast that, you know, explained to me that yoga is not the modern yoga that we see, you know, that there's so much depth to it that we typically aren't educated on. So that's been interesting learning about that for myself these past couple years. I was going to ask you too, so for my wellness journey, and I know a lot of clients that I work with that are dealing with addiction problems, eating disorders, anxiety, depression, you know, whatever it is, all ailments, routine and kind of establishing a practice is very important. It helped me. I think it saved my life, actually, and it still saves my life day to day. Creating non-negotiables around honoring yourself with a routine, and that's with, you know, adequate sleep and nourishing yourself with good food and creating healthy boundaries with the people in your life and moving and movement and exercise. And I mean, it's not from a point of vanity, but a point of self-love. And so for me, when I changed my life, I started running. I never ran a day in my life before that. And because it was like, you know, I felt like it connected my mind, body, and spirit. I was, you know, listening to my breath. I was hearing my thoughts clearly. I was outside. I was listening to music. And, you know, so for me, it was a very emotional and spiritual experience for me when I started that process. And I tried to hold on so tight to that and the other schedules that I created. And it really helped me stay sober, I think, because it created positive regard. I was proud of myself. I was taking action towards things that helped me feel better on so many levels, and not even, you know, just with the brain chemicals that are, you know, finally put back in place and in balance. Like, that was helpful too. So can you talk to me a little bit about routine and practice for yourself and with your clients? Do you find that to be important? How has it served you?
Yeah, it's the pillar. It's the pillar to change. It's the pillar to getting yourself into this place of feeling balanced, right? And Ayurveda does this beautiful job of really explaining the need for this. And without going
too deep. Can you explain Ayurveda just a little bit?
Sure.
So there's people that have never heard the word.
Yeah.
You know, there's different kinds of Ayurveda. There's Ayurvedic nutrition philosophies, right? And there's yoga, and then there's, right? I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
If you could just tell everybody.
Yeah, so Ayurveda is the sister science to yoga. And kind of simply put, it comes out from the same area of the world. It comes from the Vedas, which is the text that really helps to explore, you know, life and
balances
and living and
right,
yeah. The philosophies, etc. It's so coming from the same time period, so thousands of years old. We believe at least 5,000. Arguably, there is information to say possibly 10,000 years old. And essentially, when we look at Ayurveda, it's a sister science to yoga, so it's meant to be practiced together. They are different. And kind of beautifully put, yogis with the intention that they are practicing yoga for enlightenment understood that that was going to take them a really long time, right? Like decades and decades to really practice this and get to this place of nirvana. And in order to do that, we needed healthy bodies, right? So Ayurveda essentially helps us to maintain the health of our physical home, the body that we live in. And it looks to nature as all living beings are one with nature and are made up of the same elemental pieces. So it looks to understanding the five elements that make up all living things, from the universe all the way down to the cells within our body. And each of us have just a different combination of those elements. So, you know, some of us might have more combination of earth and water, and so they would just have a different displacement of body and mind than their friend or their family member or their loved one. And so these five elements essentially are kind of bringing us into what seems like our version of balance. And then we live life, then we experience life, and life happens to us, and we kind of go out of balance, right? So we'll start to notice that maybe some of these doshas, these elements, these combination of elements, are just kind of out of balance, and it'll first show up as just small little imbalances. But if we don't pay attention to these imbalances and we don't correct and rectify the imbalance, then the imbalance will get greater and greater and deeper and deeper. And it will start to affect not just on a cellular level, but it will start to affect on a systemic level, so within the systems of the physical body. So we want to essentially, Ayurveda is beautiful in prevention, right? So really living a life of preventative.
And awareness around if you're, like if you're a Vata or you're a Kapha, or you're, you know, these are the three, you know, usually types that people fall under, right? When it comes to your body frame, your weight, your skin, your hair, your eyes, your appetite, your, you know, temperament, memory, speech, right?
You got it. Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, we just want to find balance. We want to bring our, we want to bring people back to balance. And we do that through either nutrition, which is a big part of it. We do it through herbal care and supplemental support, but we also do it through yogic practices. And so going back to your original question around the importance of structure and routine, in Ayurveda, we have a term called Dinacharya, and it's our daily routines. It starts with our morning routines, it goes into the rest of the day, and it closes off with our nighttime routines. And these routines are set in place for each of us to provide us that structure, to provide us that support, to guide us. And at first, it might seem like a lot of work for people to kind of make some of these changes because they're just different than what they're used to. But when we start to really connect into them and understand them also from our kind of purpose perspective, then they become meaningful, they become purposeful, they become really needed to to take us through our day.
It's amazing. It's amazing. I know it's so layered, and I've enjoyed learning about it. And there's yoga, there's Ayurvedic practitioners out there that could help you guys listening kind of discover maybe what your dosha is. And, you know, if, you know, there's, if you're eating the wrong things, or if you're, you know, again, you're not feeling great all the time, you're low energy, there's a lot of ways in which you can begin to create awareness around maybe what's going on within your body, and, you know, maybe change some things too. I know there's some great people out there, and books. I've read lots of books on this too.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, there's lots of great information. The internet is somewhat helpful and somewhat not. But yeah, I would highly recommend seeing a practitioner. That's what we do here at Nourished Union as well, to really help people to understand first just where they at. And again, really have the awareness to understand the signs and symptoms that our mind and body are showing us, and to be able to read them and be present to them. And then to be able to then have the support and the guidance to then make the shifts that are supportive and nourishing for the mind and the body.
Right. And so for you, you know, experiencing an eating disorder, and you know, probably what came with that was anxiety and low self-esteem and other things that you were going through at the time. Did you find that when you were in your healing process, or you know, within the last couple of years of your life, how, like, so changing your thought habits around everything, so we could change our diet, we can change our even practices, but again, our thoughts can remain the same unless we are aware of our thoughts and how much they impact our lives. And so a lot of the time, you know, with my clients and in my own life, I like to create that awareness around our old narratives and the things that maybe don't serve us anymore, and how we can begin to change the story, and we can begin to change the way we look at ourselves and create better self-esteem and create self-love and create self-compassion. So can you tell us a little bit about how you kind of address this type of work, or do you find that it's important in you know, your practices too?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I actually, I trained in cognitive behavioral therapy for that exact reason. So in my personal journey, I had to go through a number of years of therapy in a traditional form to help me through even understanding some of my own, you can call them limiting beliefs, or even, you know, just traumas. And I'm still working through, right? It's a work in progress.
It's always an ongoing, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that was really important to me.
But it's good the awareness is there.
Absolutely. You know? Yes. We have to look inward, and the deeper we go, the more you the further you go as well, right? And so, yeah, for me, it was really helpful to also then also have a framework. And that's the thing that I really love about the Western, more modern psychology approach of cognitive behavioral therapy, because that's exactly what that is it's a framework to really identify how our emotions and our behaviors kind of take over. And we often lead life through those two, but give very little attention and awareness to the thinking behind the emotion and the behavior that we are doing, right? And often in a pattern, right? So when we go deep into separating ourselves from the emotion and the behavior and start to look at what is the thought pattern, what is the belief, is there a distortion there, is there a limiting belief, then we're able to start to understand where that's coming from, how is that showing up even somatically in the body, how does that show up, and then start to reframe it in a different way so that we can identify it. We are very clear on when it shows up for us. We know what it feels like. We can hear it. And we can powerfully also disconnect from it and understand that it's not us, right? It's just right. Part of our experience.
Old story. Yeah.
And it can change. And so I find that to be really powerful. It's definitely helped me to understand and identify that, you know, just because I behaved a certain way for a period of time does not define me, first of all, or define what my future will look like. I can change that, and we have the power to do that. And I think that's a beautiful, empowering piece to healing.
Yes, I agree. That's why my book Rewired, why I even named it Rewired, was because I felt like that's what I did, was I did rewire, you know, my life. And that's why the show is called Rewiring Your Life Too. It's because I think people don't realize that, not to get into neuroscience, but our brain is very pliable. We can create new pathways. It's very, you know, with consistency, with routine, with practice, you know, we can absolutely, there's hope for everybody to change the way we think and change actually our day-to-day existence through our thoughts, you know, and through learning how to choose self-love and all the things that we were talking about today. So it's super empowering. I hope everybody understands that there's not one person out there that can't change, you know. So
totally right. Yeah. And I think that, you know, yoga does this really beautiful job of really helping to support that, right? And we're talking about yoga beyond the physical practice, but
Yeah. Can you explain a little bit about, like, if people are listening now and they're like, oh, she said yoga, what does that mean? Do I need to sign up for a yoga class? Like, what, you know, just anything tangible that you could share and help educate, you know, anybody that wants to learn more about this. Like, what does that mean and how can they start?
Yeah. So, you know, there is the physical practice is what we probably all are more familiar with here in the West. And there is power. There's a reason why the asana practice exists. It should be called asana because it's only one part of yoga. And it is a powerful part of the process. But in the tradition of yoga, there are a number of different modalities, let's say, that support the process of going within, to connect into oneself with ultimately the understanding or the desire to deepen that connection to self and deepen that connection to our soul or our atma, as we would call it in Sanskrit, and to deepen our connection to something greater than ourselves, right? So that connection to the universal cosmic connection, and that is considered enlightenment. And wherever you are in that personal journey of, you know, whether you want to reach enlightenment or not, there is always a place for us to go inward and to calm ourselves and to calm our nervous system and to calm our mind and our thinking patterns. And so yoga does a beautiful job of having a full system to support people through that. And that's what yoga is. It's a system. It's included in that is, you know, ways of being. How do we show up as human beings to ourselves and to others? Kind of rules of engagement, let's say, but then there's also then how do you actually move through the process of going deeper within? So we have to physically move the body first to relax it, to settle it. And then we get into the layers of breath practice, which go into, you know, moving your energy, your life force, your chi, your ki, your prana. And then from there, we're able to start to deepen our connection inward, where our senses start to withdraw and they draw inward. From there becomes this deep layer of concentration, right? So the concept of mindfulness lives here. And when we then practice that over time, then we land into the state of meditation. It is a state, it's not a doing, but it's in fact a state of being. And we only get there if we've done the other pieces to support the body, to support the energy, to support the mind.
So it does start with the physical movement. Let's say somebody is just impacted by a life event recently and their nervous system is in overdrive and they're dealing with anxiety and they're dealing with even somatic pain or, you know, tightness in their chest or a knot in their stomach, or they have had these things for years and that resonates, saying, you know, I want my nervous system to settle. How can they start? Would you say to find a yoga studio to start to, you know, listen and learn about breath and movement just to start? I mean, where does someone start? Is it getting a book? Is it learning, reading about this? I'm just curious because, I mean, it sounds even good to me to, like, how do I revisit this? Or how would somebody even that maybe has not read about this understand it better?
Yeah, you know, and the Ayurvedic side of me would say it's not really a one-size-fits-all. And so it's not a perfect answer to say, to do this one thing. But with that said, I can say that for most of us, getting onto the mat and doing a physical practice is generally quite profound. And most people would resonate because the body just needs that support, right? It needs being able to release tension that's stuck. It needs the ability to feel the breath move deeper than it normally does. And there's power to these things. The caveat that I'll say to that is that, you know, there's a lot of people out there that will say, well, I'm not flexible enough, or I can't calm my mind enough. And they start to come up with the reasons why they cannot show up for this. And so I want to remind people that there's also a wide variety of physical practices that are available to people, from the more movement-based, right? So we could be looking at a hatha-type class all the way to a vinyasa or a power yoga. I wouldn't really sit in, like, the really high-intensity movement practices, especially if you're trying to calm your nervous system. I would recommend slowing down. So vinyasa, where you're connecting to your breath, a hatha, and then the really powerful practices are restorative yoga, yin yoga, yoga nidra. And these are practices where you're, like, almost barely moving, but you're deeply breathing.
Well, yeah, yoga nidra was incredible when I tried that. It was like, well, it was not, there was no physical movement. You lay on a mat and it's like a guided meditation almost, right?
It is. But it is yoga, right? Yeah. And so that's the thing, is it's not asana, yeah. It is yoga.
Right.
And okay. It's translated as yogic sleep. Mm-hmm, and the beautiful process there, yeah, is that it's undoing the layers within the unconsciousness, the subconsciousness. And so when you were talking about, you know, rewiring your brain, this is probably one of the most profound practices that a person can do, to rewire on a subtler level, right? Where there's less action and more intention.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the other thing to consider when, you know, giving, guiding people to where should they go is to try a few different things and get your feet wet with different teachers and different styles to understand what resonates with you and what feels right within you. And then once you have found that, it's also, we recommend that you at least also connect and commit to something for kind of a minimum of 3 months. We live in a world where we're just super quick.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We want instant gratification. We want it now. We just don't have the capacity to really give things a full try,
for lack of a better way.
Yeah. Yeah. And you need to really let this stuff land and resonate and integrate into the layers of the body and the mind for it to really take effect. And when you do, again, without, it's almost less effort, but with all that intention, the healing starts to happen on its own. And that's the power, right? So going back to the concept of...
That's the incredible part.
Yeah, the routine, mm-hmm. the practice. If you allow yourself the time to do this and commit to it, you will feel the effects.
I'm just curious. I mean, I'm not putting pressure on anyone listening, but how many times a week would you say would be an adequate amount to kind of feel more connected to this practice or feel like it is helping in some way?
So the ideal is to do this every day.
Okay.
Right. So, and the every day could mean like 10 minutes.
Right. So you could go to a class
and
then
do.
It's
more powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even do a 10-minute breath practice, mm-hmm. right? A 10-minute meditation. There's so many great apps out there now too that, you know, whether they're free or nominal in price. We offer also some of those, and I'm also on some of these apps. So, you know, there's all sorts of great ways for us to just even carve out 10 minutes every day. And science has also started to really show this through research that that's way more impactful for the change in the neuroplasticity of your brain than to do one 60-minute class a week,
right?
We need to do this every day.
Yeah.
And so if you can't do 60 minutes every day, then just do 10.
Yeah, that's such great advice. And I'm so happy that you mentioned that because it's, again, back to the consistency, back to the awareness around why practice actually does serve us so much more than we could possibly ever imagine because it does change. That's the way we see changes being made. Yeah. I was going to ask you too about body work in general. I know this is such like another term that I think a lot of people hear, but no one really, a lot of my clients at least, don't know how to connect to that. And I talked to a lot of my clients who have undergone trauma or still in the midst of something and hold so much pain in their physical body. You know, there's only so much talking we can do around it. I mean, we can uncover old narratives and beliefs. We can, you know, discuss how to heal and forgive. And we can, you know, all this work that we do through talk therapy. But again, just sometimes we need to address the nervous system, the physical body that's holding on to the pain. And that's where, as we know, disease, you know, can you know come up through is this kind of holding on to these energy blocks. And so if you could speak to this as an expert of your experience with body work and what you would recommend for people to do or how to kind of start this journey towards looking inward and looking at ways in which they can, you know, release these I think
Yeah, and you're right. So our body,
these blockages, I think, you know, or you know what,
right?
Yeah.
Subconsciously. And so what might feel like, oh, I'm just tight here, could be physiological, but it also most likely is emotional of some kind, and it's some kind of past experience that has essentially lodged itself into your tissues. And from an energy perspective then, which lives in our connective tissue as well as within just the whole of the physical body and then kind of surrounding the physical body, if our energy is unable to move through those blocked areas, then that can also create disruption and it will feel like something. It will feel like discomfort. It will feel like dis-ease. It will feel like tension. blocked, holding. So, you know, often most of us have tension in our shoulders, in our neck, right? And we've probably all been told, oh, you're carrying something, right? Well, you're carrying some kind of life experience, some kind of life moment, thoughts, beliefs, emotions. And sometimes it's just powerful to just get rid of it without knowing why it's there and what it is, right? We don't always need to know what it is. It just needs to go. And so, yeah, I in my personal experience and what I teach is yin yoga. I think that that's probably one of the more profound practices to release, again, on layers that are way beyond the physical. Yin yoga is, again, another type of asana yoga where you would be going into a posture, but you'd be holding the posture or you'd be in the posture for, you know, anywhere from like 2 to 5 minutes, sometimes even upwards to 8 or 10. And that seems sometimes daunting or nuts. And we're not talking about handstands or headstands or things like that.
Yes, I was imagining on my head for 8 minutes.
Yeah, it's more supportive. We use props oftentimes to let the body be supported so it can relax into the support. And essentially, what you're doing is you're trying to allow the body to come into stillness. And it's when the body comes into stillness that the muscles have stopped working, that the connective tissue now has the capacity to open up, to release. And so when we're in a shape, it will start to often feel like, okay, yeah, I got this, you know, in the first minute. And then in the second minute, oh, okay, what's that feeling? I can feel something, you know, if it's a hip opener, let's say. Oh, there's a little bit more stickiness now all of a sudden in my hips. And then comes a time where often people want to kind of fidget or move out of it. I don't like this feeling. It's uncomfortable. And that's our reactive side that doesn't like something and it just wants to react. And this is the moment of telling where, what do you choose to do? Do you move and do you react, or do you stay with it? And do you breathe through it? And do you witness the ever flow of anything, right? There is nothing that is in constant stillness. Everything is in flux. And so can you witness that sensation start to move? And eventually, if you let that stay in that stillness, the breath will slowly help that stickiness, that hold, whatever that is, start to soften, and it will release it out.
So interesting. Yeah.
And after that, yeah, it feels like this amazing release. Like physically, you're going to say, oh, wow, my hip is just more open. I'm more flexible. But then people will say, oh, I slept really well last night after that practice. And, oh, I'm not caring or I'm not reacting in the same way after a period of time to, you know, a repetitive kind of situation. I'm not reacting in the same way. And so there are these changes that are happening on deeper levels than you even realized just by releasing that somatic hold.
That's amazing. That's so amazing. Well, I'm going to continue to share that knowledge with my clients for sure and encourage them.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. That's only one, right? So there's Reiki, there's energy healing, there's chakra healing. There's so many different ways. The yin yoga goes through the chakra system, so that is why it's so powerful. But yeah, there's so many great ways from these more traditional sciences that can really help to release this old stuff.
That's amazing. Amazing. All such great information. I could talk to you for so much longer. One more thing I was going to ask you before I want to tell my audience where they could find you and what you're offering to the world. Just you find that with kids too. I mean, I have two toddlers, a two and a 3-year-old, and I am trying to teach them to breathe, just basic mindfulness around breath, just like when he's getting overwhelmed, my son, to like, let's take a deep breath, you know, and they're starting to learn. But just to tell people out there that are listening too, from your standpoint, how powerful it is to kind of instill these practices at a young age so that they can, when they're older, learn how to cope and have healthy coping skills than just turning towards any kind of disordered thinking or addictive behavior or, you know, anxiety around their inner emotional life. Just curious if you have any thoughts around that.
Well, I think, you know, for one, it's just bringing the awareness, right? So like you're doing with your kids, it's bringing the awareness to it, especially our breath, right? Because our breath happens autonomically. It's just, it's kind of working in the background in every moment of our actual life here. And so we can take it for granted and we can be so disconnected from it. So just even paying attention and giving your kids the awareness to this extremely powerful part of our existence and really honoring it and giving it the attention and awareness that it deserves is really powerful. And then also I would say it's also about not making it work, but making it fun, right? So for kids, so that they get that this stuff is just also part of, again, who they are, and they actually can access it way easier and with less complication because they just haven't experienced so much of life yet, that they can actually access it, and they're going to access it from a place of fun and ease and lightheartedness, and it should be, because I find that with kind of the general population and a lot of my clients, it's that we're actually trying to undo all of the life impositions to get us back to that innocence and to get us back to that simple awareness and wisdom. So for me, I would just say it's about kind of just placing a mirror to your children and showing them, connecting the dots for them, just speaking about it, creating that awareness of what they're already doing.
Exactly. Great advice. Thank you. And I love that caveat of just making it fun, because that is when things just click naturally, you know, when it's not pushed or forced. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Karen, can you tell everybody where to find you and whatever's going on right now with Nourished Union and anything else that you would like to share?
Yeah. So you can follow us at Nourished Union on Instagram or LinkedIn. We also have a website, nourishedunion.com. We have essentially the way that our offering works is that we really do want to meet you where you are in your wellness journey. So we have a few free programs. One is called the Digital Discovery. And that really came about because I have a bit of a, you know, a love-hate relationship, to be honest with you, with Instagram or social media as a whole. It doesn't really align with the way in which I live my life or even how I encourage others to live life, but it's also part of life, right? So it's trying to find that balance and you know, come to terms with it. So the Digital Discovery Program is there to kind of clear away from social media and access this kind of content on a free level without having to dig through social media. And so we have a monthly blog, and then if you're part of the Digital Discovery Program, you're going to get weekly emails that are just kind of like little suggestions on how to create maybe a little bit of change or how to implement maybe a practice here and there and really connect back to why. Why are we even doing this in the first place?
Right. So it's such a good question.
Yeah. And then we have another free program that's called the Awareness Consult, where you can book 30 minutes with me and we can go a little bit deeper into actually understanding where you're at. And if you're not sure what you want to be taking on, right, we've talked about the fact that there's so many different modalities and different ways about starting or moving through your wellness journey. So I'm happy to just kind of talk people through that and listen to where they're at. And then we actually have an online studio. We call it the Healing Studio. So I have two programs there, the Well and the Well Light. The Well is a live, we meet every single day, Monday to Friday, for actually implementing the practice. Some days are 45 minutes, some days are 15 minutes. So the practice will be different every day, from movement to breath to meditation to restoring. And then we meet every Saturday to connect, to listen to each other, to share,
So nice.
Yeah, it's a beautiful program that actually came out in response to the pandemic, and to really support people in being there for each other. And then the Well Light is just an on-demand version of that. And then finally, we have our transformation program. So for those that actually want to work with me one-on-one, this is where we will actually do some cognitive behavioral therapy and really go deeper into, you know, your thinking patterns, your, again, maybe cognitive distortions of what might be getting in the way of even implementing some of these changes, and then actually supporting you to actually dive deep into the changes that are right for you. So we do an Ayurvedic assessment, and we understand what is right for each individual, because there's no one size fits all. It's always different.
Fabulous. Okay. And we're going to have all of Karen's information on our site as well, for Nourished Union, nourishedunion.com. Karen, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge and the love you have for what you do. And it's so authentic. And I know everybody appreciates your time. And I just have one more question, though, which Marsha usually does at the end, but it's kind of our deep dive question. And it's, what is your superpower, if you were to say one thing?
Oh, man. You've got me here. What is my superpower? It's funny, and I don't know if you hear this from other people, but I feel like sometimes we are always our hardest critic. And so I feel like maybe your superpower is sometimes something that you don't even believe in yourself, but others tell you. And so I would probably say, if that's the case, it's the creating the space for others to show up and to be their authentic self, to listen, for sure, to hear them. And to support them.
That's amazing. Beautiful. And it's so needed. So needed. So what a beautiful quality it is. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me on. And thank you for doing the important work of actually having these conversations. It's so important to be sharing and sharing each other's stories. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. Oh, it's been my honor, and I'm happy we crossed paths. So this has been a fabulous time. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Rewiring Your Life, where we provide wellness, inspiration, and support. Until next time, be well.